Just believe in yourself. Just work hard. Do your research. Never give up on any opportunity that might come in your way. Cherish every single opportunity. Because for me, I never say no to a learning opportunity.
This is Kouloud, a young Tunisian development professional with a very fascinating story. You see, a few years ago, while she was studying for a degree in chemistry at the university, she took the unusual step of applying to join the Model United Nations program, a program that teaches young people how the United Nations works to make the world a better place. And after the program, she has exchanged small papers containing future predictions with other young people.
I remember when that Model United Nations of North Africa ended, the participants gave each other sugar cubes. The sugar cubes are small notes that we exchange as a memory. If you'd like to make a comment or write anything to your colleague, so you just give them a sugar cube. And I collected so many, and then one told me, "I'll see you as an ambassador or more one day." And then the other told me, "I'm sure your place is at the real UN."
And little did she know that these predictions were going to define her future.
And today I'm a youth ambassador, and I just finished my two trips to the UN capitals, one in New York and one in Geneva. And when I entered and I had those notes taken in my phone, I looked at them and I said, dreams really do come true.
So from studying chemistry at the university to seizing an opportunity to learn something new, today, Kouloud is an accomplished and fast-rising development professional who serves as the African Union's Youth Ambassador for Peace. So how did she do it? And what can other young people unsure about their career prospects learn from her remarkable story? Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
My name is Kouloud Ben Mansour. I'm currently serving as the African Union Youth Ambassador for Peace, representing the North African region. I work on the portfolio of North Africa for the triple nexus between migration, climate change, peace and security.
Within the span of a few years, Kouloud Ben Mansour has transformed herself from a university chemistry undergraduate to one of Africa's leading young development professionals. Her fast-rising career has seen her travel the world representing Africa. I sat down for an interview with Kouloud and started by asking her how a chemistry student now finds herself at the top tables of international development and diplomacy.
Very interesting question. And also, I think this is a very, very important conversation because I'm sure it will inspire a lot of young people who are in the pursuit of a fresh academic degree, or they are a bit lost about what they do or what is the next step that they want to do in their professional careers. I think when I started chemistry, even though this is a choice of an academic degree that I chose because I love chemistry. I come from a scientific background. I've been kind of intellectual person who always loves literature, but at the same time loves to solve equations and chemical interactions. So it was something that I really enjoyed studying. But during the studies of my academic degree in chemistry, I came across an opportunity that was called the Model United Nations. It's a simulation to the real negotiations that happen at the UN, but it happens in every country in the world. And I was searching for something that will actually fill my extra time and trying to identify what can I do more. And I just said, why not? Let me give it a try. And then if I like it, then it's going to be something I do it for fun. So it was nothing serious at that time, except that I really wanted to try something new. And the first day of the simulation, I still remember it. I was given the delegation of UAE in the UNESCO committee, and everyone was blown away by my public speaking skill. And then I realized that there was a hidden talent in me that I didn't know it existed. So slowly and progressively, I started to do more of these events and engaging more with young people, especially that what was really interesting is that these young people, they come from different backgrounds, from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, from the Middle East. So every part of the world was there. And those passionate discussions and those interests were shared. We created memories. And then I realized that this is perhaps something that I wanted to do, the diplomatic relations and the international relations sphere. I didn't want to let go my academic career, to be honest, my academic degree, because this is something that I passionately loved. But I also wanted to add on something that is really done with passion and so much love and dedication. So that's where the shift happened, and I started to look for courses or scholarships that are more relevant to the civic engagement sphere, and that's where my journey started. And the more I engaged with youth groups and international organizations, the more I discovered other skills and developed other skills and realized that there is a lot to be discussed and there is a lot for me to bring to the table.
Despite stumbling into the development space, Khulod nevertheless had a passion for development and for making the world a better place. And this became her drive as she launched her career.
The real drive behind this is the passion to create a positive change, the dedication to see a better environment, not only for myself, but for so many other people that I may have met or may not, that I heard their stories or that I have been influenced by the sad reality in which they are facing, living or facing. And that's where the real question, what can I do, came across my mind. The first time I started engaging with international organizations was something huge to me because I started integrating spaces that I used to do simulations for. And when I was invited to global events like the COP or the different UN agencies meetings, I was trying to see what is actually going on in the world and how these things are being done. So that was my starting point before knowing what can be done and how can we contribute to the discussions and bring on the youth perspective. And very important element as well, Jewel, is to emphasize on the learning and to do a lot of research, to understand, to read a lot. This was an advice that was given to me by one diplomat that I have huge respect for. And he told me, you have to read a lot, you have to have a very solid background so that whenever topic you are invited to, at least you have a tiny visibility on what's going on, either in the past or in the current context. So I started doing my own research, understanding about climate change events, understanding more about the issues at least of my region, so that whenever I contribute to a cause, I at least I'm familiar with the context, either at a national or regional or global level.
Khulod leveraged her growing expertise to start applying for global development opportunities. And just then, she came across something life-changing.
This is my favorite part when speaking about the program that changed my life indeed, because as much as I really loved working in the local and national context, I was given an advice by a dear friend of mine, and he told me, Khulod, I think at this stage you are ready to explore global dimensions. And I was like, really, should I take my knowledge and expertise to a global level and see how can I fit at the global level. And then I came across an opportunity that is a scholarship offered by the US Embassy in my country. Actually, several programs at that year, and I applied for all of them, to be honest, and I got selected in all of them. But this program precisely captured my interest because it offered me the space to learn, volunteer, and exchange as well. Because I'm not only going to study, but I'm also going to volunteer in some local organizations or associations, and I'm also exchanging with other people from the MENA region, from Jordan, from Morocco, from Palestine, from Lebanon, and so many other, from the Maghreb region. And it was really interesting because we were dispatched all over the US, and every group was sent to study at a specific university. And then we meet at the beginning and at the end of the program in Washington, D.C. to exchange knowledge. And we did so many other reflection exercises and team building activities. We also had a capstone seminar. So that program was not only just to go study, graduate, and that's it, but also it was an opportunity to develop my personal skills, to understand better the person I am, and to explore perhaps more areas of passion. When I applied, I got first selected to attend an interview. And then after the, of course, I submitted an application, a technical application that included my experience in civic engagement, my CV, my academic degrees, and transcripts. And then I think more than 15, perhaps 20 or 30 candidates were shortlisted, and then 14 applicants from all over Tunisia were selected. Of course, this is the same process for the other countries, but for my country, we were 14 people, and we were dispatched through Georgetown University, California State, Montana, and Delaware, and there was also Boston, if I'm not mistaken. And each one of us was given an option to study one specific degree, and that's where the beauty of it came, because we were diversified in the interests and diversified in the backgrounds, and that created a richness itself. This opportunity also allowed me to create a lot of background in the context of women's studies, understanding much more about the areas that I wanted to develop, and just not sticking to the local or the national context, understanding more about persuasive speech, public speaking. The courses that I had were with really, really nice professors, and they were very passionate about what they do.
Armed with her international and local knowledge and experience in development, Khulood decided to take her work to the next level by applying as the African Union's Youth Ambassador for Peace.
Of course, from 2018 until 2021, there was a lot of investment, self-investment, either in my knowledge or in my professional capacities or in my network, which prepared me to be able to apply for the Youth Ambassador role. And then when I came across the position, I realized that this is the second cohort, because there was a previous cohort before us, and the mandate was about to end. And that's where I found out about the call for applications. This was also a technical application that I applied for. It was purely about the different normative frameworks of the African Union and how familiar the young person is of them, and their relation to the peace and security agenda and the five priority areas of the continental framework on youth, peace and security. So there has to be some at least knowledge to some capacity about the AU and the youth programs and the YPS agenda to be able to consider applying for the role. And this person has to have, of course, a solid background in engaging with young people, either at the national or regional level. And when I was applying, I was very, very passionate about the cause that I already had with me from Tunisia and other countries, like climate change, youth leadership, youth engagement in political sphere. And I wanted to reflect the importance of those opportunities in eliminating hate speech, violent extremism, especially that I come from a country where we had the 2011 revolution, or what is called the Arab Spring. So there was a lot to bring on to the discussion. So I applied in November, in September, I think, 2021, and then I was shortlisted among the three finalists of my region, and I traveled to Addis Ababa to do the assessment, and there was three other representatives per region, so we were a total of 15. And then we went through an assessment period. We had different questions. We had different exercises given to us. We had to submit a work plan for the duration of our service. Each one of us, of course, must submit a work plan of the 2 years. And this work plan must reflect the work that the youth ambassador will be doing for the duration of the 2 years. And finally, the last stage was the interview with the jury. The jury included so many technical experts, including the RECs and the regional mechanisms and the AU PAPS representatives as well. It was a very, very intense selection process, very competitive, but yet very, very interesting and very rich, because we met with our fellow finalists from all over Africa, from every part of Africa, and the experience was very rich. We felt like we were a family, but then there has to be only one person selected, and then by the end of the week, we had the selection by Her Excellency, the Minister of Women in Ethiopia, and we were announced as the elected youth ambassadors. And then after that, officially the endorsement started in February the following year, because the official announcement comes through the Peace and Security Open Session on Youth Peace and Security. And that's where the announcement of the appointment of the youth envoy and the five regional youth ambassadors happened. Ms. Chido is our youth envoy, was also appointed at the same time. And that was like the official introduction of us to the PSC and to the member states. There was a communication rolled out of our appointment, and we have a communique about this as well. And that's where our mandate officially started. And it's expected to end in February 2024. And that's where the new cohort will be announced as well. It's a very, very interesting position. As I said, it's the result of years of work and dedication and involvement and the passion for leadership and to create a positive change.
So from stumbling into the development space as a student, Kulud has now built a formidable international career in development and civic engagement. What could be more inspiring? I asked Kulud what has been the most memorable moment on this extraordinary journey.
Definitely. I mean, this is the part where I smile really from my heart, and I realize that, as you mentioned, the progress has been fast, even though sometimes the road gets sticky and you realize that it's a long road and a lot of hours of hard work and being sleep deprived, and you have to manage so many things, because sometimes this is a voluntary work and you do not get paid for it, but it's the motivation and the dedication that drives you to do what you do. And that's where the real success comes, because it's rewarding after all of this. And then, of course, I have so many people who marked my path so far and still. when I met with the head of the liaison office of the AU of Libya, Madame Wahida. She's Tunisian, but she's the special envoy on the of the chairperson, and she's leading the liaison office of Libya. And she told me that she told me so many beautiful things, but she just gave me a boost. And she told me some words that are always in my mind and on my thoughts. And she made me believe more in myself. And ever since that conversation happened, my self-esteem has risen even more. And I really said, I do not regret what I do. And indeed, she gave me a very, very powerful message, and she just emphasized on how much I should believe in myself. And that was, I think, last year, and it was at a very, very critical time because we were just about to start, and I was very, very scared about the commitment and the responsibility that was given to us as young people entering our first diplomatic steps. So it was very, very inspiring. And I'm super thankful to people like her, because when you're a young person, you want someone to believe in you. You want someone to hold your hand and trust you, and you want someone who can really push you towards the best version of yourself. And that's it. That's the starting point. That's the breaking point. And if you just find someone who believes in you, you can do so many great things. And the very first person who believed in me was the person who invited me to the interview of the US scholarship, and now is a person who is a special envoy. And hopefully the next time it would be someone higher. So you just need to believe in yourself. And make the people around you also believe in you, because the energy gets transferred. I remember 2 weeks ago or more, I was invited to the Tunis Business School. It's one of the most powerful and prestigious universities in Tunisia. It's an Anglophone university that has agreements and partnerships with U.S. Universities, and the degree is recognized by the U.S. and other countries. And I was invited as a guest of honor along with a former ambassador. And when I was given too many questions by young people who are just freshly joining the civic engagement sphere, I was really overwhelmed, because I remembered myself, and they are doing a club called the Model United Nations. So it's like history repeating itself. And I was answering their questions really from my heart, because at one day I was in their position, and at one day I was eager to find someone who can guide me through, or to help me, or to answer my questions. Of course, I faced so many rejections. So many people at power position ignored me. I tried to reach out to so many people who would just leave me on scene or ignore my emails. But that can only motivate me more and allow me to be the positive change that I want, and to be a role model, even though I don't like to be perceived as one, but a role model in being an someone who is empathetic and someone who inspires others to create the positive versions of themselves.
Despite her modesty in refusing to be seen as a role model, I think I speak for many when I say that Khulod is indeed a role model. Her unique ability to learn, dedicate herself, and grow in a space she happened to stumble upon is a remarkable lesson to many young people. And as we concluded our interview, I asked her what she would say to these young people who might also be looking at taking up a career in development.
This is also always the hardest part, because when you're thinking about giving advice, you have to be very careful about what you give, because sometimes it's going to mark someone's journey for the rest of their lives. But one thing I believe in is to work hard and to believe in yourself. I know these things might have been said so many times, but for a person who is really, really believing in themselves, they will have their big opportunity coming. Just believe in yourself. Just work hard. Do your research. Never give up on any opportunity that might come in your way. Cherish every single opportunity, because for me, I never say no to a learning opportunity. When I first started, I never skipped any event in the space, or I never skipped an opportunity to exchange with someone. I reached out to so many people. I tried to be in. Sometimes I even pushed myself to be invited, because I know that the space that I'm accessing is very valuable and will definitely help me a lot. So at some point, you have to impose yourself. You have to prove who you are. You have to, just like they say, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. You have to create your own opportunity at some point, and you have to say, I exist, I'm there. And that can only happen when you truly believe in your potential and you know what you bring to the table. So I really encourage everyone who's dedicated to the development space to start from small steps. And then aim bigger, because you can be working, and then the next day you will have your big chance. You will have your big opportunity. Just work hard for it, aim for the best, and believe in yourself, and the rest will follow. So those are my advices to anyone who has just started or who want to access the space but don't know how. Trust me, the opportunities are infinite, and the development space is huge. It's just to know when to access, who you should collaborate with. And once you have that base, once you have that starting point, just work hard and believe in yourself. Always say, my time will come, my opportunity will come, my time to shine will be there, because I have been standing in the backstage for so many years and clapping for my friends and admiring my colleagues' work. And I realized that, yes, it will come a time where I will clap for myself and I will have the results and the fruits of my hard work. I'm actually still, I have not, it's not like I actually made a career of 50 years. I have just started as well. But at some point, I became proud of myself and I knew that this is the stage where I should be called an expert and no longer a young person just participating. So believe in yourself, believe in yourself, and work hard, and then your time will come.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Jewel Atadob-Bright. Special thanks to Khulood Bin Masood for allowing us to tell her story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Feroz Laoji Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.